So we're learning this week about the topic of the asa osa adam kol tzarchei bepas, that a person could do whatever he pleases with pas, which is a sugi really about how one treats bread, how one treats food, whether or not a person could use food to their benefit, or one has to be extra careful how to use or misuse bread. So the way it came up in the Gemara on Chaf Alpha Mnabe is the Gemara was talking about how one removes some date seeds. How do you get out of the way? It's a problem of muksa, because apparently date seeds are not fit for Adam, and it's not fit for Behema either, so it's muksa. And so the Gemara suggests that, well, maybe in Yantif there's a purpose for this, because you're able to use it to fuel your fire, and since that's a purpose, so then you're allowed to move it. But then the Gemara says that makes sense if the seeds are dry, because things that are dry, firewood that's dry is easily flammable, but if it's wet and moist, so then it's not going to help you in the fire. It's not going to catch fire if it's so wet. And the Gemara says, no. If it's a large fire, so then the large fire, the Hesek Gadol, will be able to burn and use the even a wet seed to fuel it further. The Gemara says, okay, this all makes sense in Yantif, but what about Shabbos? Shabbos, of course, you can't throw things to the fire, you can't add to the fire. And the Gemara says you're allowed to move it out of the way through bread. You could use a bread to kind of pick it up or somehow scoop it up in such a way, and that would be permitted. And the Gemara says, because we assume, like the Shita of Shmuel, that also Adam called Tzarecha bepas. You could do whatever you want with pas. You could use bread to whatever you need, and therefore it's not a problem. And Rashi explains that umetaltel idea pas, you can move it. Move the seeds through using the bread. We're not concerned of a bizayon to Oakland, the way a person treats bread, we're not concerned. You're allowed to do whatever you want. Again, osa adam kol tzarcho bepas. So that's the din. Now, in the back of the mind, we have to keep in mind that there are two aspects of how to treat food. There are two different elements. One element is, of course, we know the din of bal tashmas. Bal tashmas is not the discussion, though it comes up. A person cannot get rid of food. He can't waste food for no reason. And that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Bra, in Hilchos Malachim. Rambam is talking that the source of bal tashchis is you can't cut down trees. Trees that produce fruit. There's an issur in the Torah to cut down a fruit tree. So the Rambam says, not only is the Rambam Hilchos Malachim, not only is it usur to destroy trees, but even breaking kalim, even mishaber kalim, or a person's kari begadim, a person's tearing clothing is considered bal tashchis. And the destroying a building for no reason, and destroying a spring, a water. And he adds, ume'aved machalos derech hashchasen, destroying, getting rid of food, derech hashchasen, in a destructive way. All this falls under the category of bal tashchis. That's not our conversation, though that's important to keep in mind. It will keep coming up. Our topic is treating food in a disrespectful way of a bizayim. So that's the focus here. So here it sounds like in the Gemara that a person can do whatever he wants with the food. The Shmuel holds that osa adam kol tzarcha bepas. Do whatever you want. Now, this concept seems to go against the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus discusses in Daf Chaf Amud Beis an interesting practice of Rav Huna. Rav Huna, every single Erev Shabbos, he would send a shliach out to the shuk and make sure all the vegetables are bought. And then he told him to go throw it in the river. So firstly, why was he telling him to buy all the inventory? Because Rav Huna was concerned that if, let's say, the store owner, he wasn't able to sell his inventory, so next week he'll say, listen, I'm not going to bring as much inventory, I'm going to bring down the supply. And then maybe there's not going to be enough food for the people's Shabbos. So he wanted to make sure the inventory remained at a high level. So he sent a guy out to go buy out to the store. This way, he'll ensure each week there'll be plenty of inventory for buying on Shabbos. But then the Gemara says, why would you take that food and throw it to the river? That's bal tashchis. Is that not bal tashchis? And the Gemara says, at least give it to the aniyim. Give it to someone who needs to eat, who has nothing else to eat. Interesting understanding. He says, his concern was, if I were to feed the aniyim on this Erev Shabbos, all this surplus in food, well, they're going to expect that next week, and there might not be a surplus next week. I can't guarantee what type of surplus. I only buy whatever's left over in the inventory. So although maybe this week there's some surplus, maybe next week there won't be. And the aniyim are going to rely on me, and then for them to rely on me, and then be disappointed, and then maybe not look for food elsewhere, comes Erev Shabbos next week, they have nothing to eat. So better for them not to have this, which itself is an interesting svar, but not for now. So then the Gemara says, okay, well, at least give it for some purpose, feed the animals with it. Right? The Gemara says, L'shadi l'behema, give it to the animals. At least someone's going to gain from this. And the Gemara says, Kasavar ma'ichel adam ein ma'chilin l'behema. Human food, you should not give to animals. You don't feed to an animal. So why? What's wrong with feeding ma'ichel adam l'behema? So Rashi says there, because mishum bizui ochlin. It's disgraceful for the food. Why is it disgraceful for the food? So Rashi says further, Umechse kiboit bitovo. It's as if you're kicking, you're kafoy tov. You're not appreciating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. Sheshbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives animals their grass for cows, and he gives whatever other foods for animals. But he gives you also food. He gives you bread, the ability to make bread and cake and cookies, and you give it to the animal. That's called the bizoy. That's boet betova sheshbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Bizayon Ochlin. So this Gemara here in Tainus is concerned with Bizayon, a Bizayon of Ochlin, while the sugya of the Shita of Shmuel is not concerned with the Bizayon of Ochlin. Right? Rashi says again, why can you use the bread to move all the pits, all the seeds of the date? Because Lo Chai Shinon, we're not concerned with Bizayon Ochlin. So maybe there's a contradiction in Gemaras, which we've had before, and maybe we paskin like one and not the other one. Yeah.
How is the garbage not a bizayon and the animal is a bizayon?
No, the difference is they're both bizayon, but we're not concerned with bizayon. The Gemara says it is a bizayon. We don't care about bizayon ochlin. That's not a concept. Therefore, do whatever you want with it and move the seeds. And the other Gemara in Tanya says we are concerned with bizayon ochlin. That's why you can't feed it to the animals.
No, why is it called a bizayon feeding it to the animals, but it's not called the bizayon throwing it in the garbage?
Throwing the garbage would be bizayon.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but that Gemara says it's a bizayon to give it to the animals.
Mm-hmm.
What's the alternative? You threw it out.
Oh, in terms of that Gemara there. Yeah,
so it's worse, no?
Right. No, so they're no, if you could, the way you would throw it out, you could throw out a piece of bread. The halacha is that when the person throws out garbage, bread lets you clean up after your suda. So you were supposed to put the bread in a separate plastic bag and then throw it in the garbage just so it's not a bizayon. So you still respect it. That would be an issue of Baal Tashchis. But when there's a purpose, Baal Tashchis, if it's done for a certain purpose, so then that won't be Baal Tashchis. You know, a person, let's say, tearing clothing, lo aleinu. A person needs to tear kriya for avelis. So, isn't that Baal Tashchis? Well, the answer is, since it's a tzorach, there's a mitzvah in doing so. That's not Baal Tashchis. So the reason why he didn't want to give it to the anim, because it was going, they'll rely on it next week. So whenever there's a certain tzorach, that's not called Baal Tashchis. Remember, the Rambam's definition of Baal Tashchis was, he says, ma'avid machal derech hashchas, in a destructive way. But if you're doing it in a dignified way, that's not a violation of a Baal Tashchis. But here, in terms of Bizayon of Ochlin, so we have a machlokis in the sugyas here. Shmuel says we're not concerned with Bizayon, and therefore do whatever you want with bread. And the Gemara in Tanya says we are concerned with Bizayon Ochlin, and therefore you shouldn't feed it to the animals. So the problem is there seems to be a contradiction. You'll see in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, because if you look, take a look. Just firstly, look at the Rambam number 3 in the Hilchos Brachos. So Rambam writes clearly. Rambam writes that in the bold, the chayin ein mafsid in shar ochlin mashkin derech bizoy ibita. He agrees with Rashi, almost has the same language as Rashi, that a bizayon of ochlin would be again a way of a person's kafoy tov, a person who rejects any appreciation of Kadosh Baruch Hu who gives us food and you treat it improperly. That's also derech bizoy ibita. So we see that there's these two dinim. There's Baal Tashchis and there's derech bizayon. So now, the contradiction is as follows. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, in number 5, Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Ayin Aleph, he says that a person could do Osa Adam Tarcha Bepas. You do whatever you want with bread. Sounds like we're not concerned with Bizayon of Ochlin. Do whatever you want. Like Rashi says, Lo Chashinon Le Bizayon. But then he qualifies and says, Honey Mile De Lo Mais Be. It's only true if it doesn't get ruined. About me, the demaris, but if it gets ruined, so then he says that it would be a problem. You shouldn't do whatever you want with pas. Why? What's wrong if it gets ruined? If it gets ruined, it's more Baal Tashchis issue, l'chaora. But if it's not Baal Tashchis, it won't ruin the bread. So then also adam kol tzarcha b'pas, do whatever you want with the bread. But then he says, later on, even though you do whatever you want with the bread, he says, "Ein zorkin bepas, don't throw it out." Mishum bizayin ochlin. Right, the same exact sif in Shulchan Aruch, he says, Osa Adam called Tzarcha Bepas, do whatever you want with bread, which sounds like we're not concerned with Bizayon of Ochlin. And then the very same sif, he says, but don't throw bread because that's a Bizayon of Ochlin. So what's the difference? How do you deal with that stira? So, any thoughts on that? Everyone understand the question? Again, the question is, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Osa Adam called Tzarcha Bepas, do whatever you want with bread. Anything you want, you can move the seeds. And then Rashi says, and we're not concerned with Bizayon Ochlin. Even though it is Bizayon Ochlin, using bread to move away Muksa, we're not concerned. We don't care for Bizayon Ochlin. And the very same sif, the Shulchan Aruch says, but don't throw it because that's Bizayon Ochlin. What do you mean, different din? Throwing is different.
It's own set of rules for some reason, which I'm not sure.
Okay.
But the news comes in, but it's like a disgusting.
Really? Yeah, hold on a second, Ariel. So if it's going to become disgusting, and therefore what?
I'm saying, it seems like it's a separate sort of demon.
So that would be a bizarre nochle, that's a different din in Baal Tashchis?
I guess it's also bizarre.
Like using, picking up pits would sound like a bizarre, using food for something else. Ariel, you have a suggestion?
Yeah, maybe you can do whatever you need, but the question is, how you do what you need, and throwing it is generally not necessary to fulfill whatever need. That's about how you do it.
The manner in which you're doing it. So, why is throwing worse than using bread to scoop up pits?
Because when you're scooping it up, if you have nothing else to scoop it up with, so you use it with the bread. But if you're putting a bread somewhere, you don't need to throw it necessarily. Like it's.
I say no. Less labreira, meaning if you want to get the bread to a certain place from point A to point B, there's another way to get it there. You could move it, pass it on, walk over and hand it over. Ask the guy to come get it. Comes to throwing, so if throwing, you're being lazy. When it comes to moving the seeds, there's no other option, and therefore, since there's no other option, so then it wouldn't be a violation of Bizayon Ochlin. So I would say something similar, a little bit different though. I think the difference would be is
not obvious, you can throw lino and stuff, so it's not inherently undignified to throw something. It seems like there's a special din by pass, and then also other foods that are in the muscle.
That's definitely true as well. So we have to make a chil between pass and other food. That's also a chil that must be made. So at least let's talk about within the world of pass first, then we'll talk about other food. In the world of pass, bread. So I think the difference is that if there's a certain purpose, we are concerned with the bizayon. We're concerned with it being mevazeh food. There's no question. But if there's a certain tzarach, you're gaining something out of it, so then it wouldn't be considered bizayon. Bizayon is if you're just doing it, derech habi'ita, derech bizayon, just mamish throwing the food away if it doesn't, the bread, you don't care for it. But we spoke about it in the Mishnah Berurah, we'll get to the various details, but refuah, for example. If I need to use food for refuah purposes, derech bizayon, washing my hands with wine and oil, it might be derech bizayon. But since it's a tzarech, I'm gaining something out of it. That's not a bizayon. That's and meduyik in shita of Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Os adam kol tzarecho b'pas." Anything he needs, anything he's gaining from. But just to take bread and just to throw it on the floor, and there's no need, I'm not gaining. Like Ariel said, I'm not gaining by throwing it to you. I'm maybe gaining a few seconds of time, but I'm not gaining anything personally. I can just walk over and hand it to you or give it to the guy next to me to give it to you. But if it's something I'm going to gain from it, that's not called a bizayon. So in the case of the Gemara in Beitza, where I was trying to remove all the seeds that were muksa, were bothering me, so then using the bread for a tzorech, that's not called a bizayon. That's what I think the answer is. And I will get to the other foods in just a second.
Ariel was bringing up this week that in camp they used to use food and ketchup for games on people. To me, that's a waste and you're not allowed. To him, yeah. He said, no, they did it in Jewish camps. It was okay. Has the rabbi heard of this kind of thing?
No, but I would imagine if there's no tzarech, you could, I guess, entertain the possibility. We'll go through the different examples when you can use food. Maybe we'll bring that up at the end. But l'chora, I would think that would be a problem. I really would think it would be a bizayon. There's no real gain there. It's not any of the examples of, as we'll go through, of having fun. But maybe for kids, I don't think it would be the proper chinuch, to be honest. But I don't know which camps. I don't care to know camps about which ones are doing this. But I would think it would be a problem, a violation. But now regarding other foods right now, so then there are different levels, however. There are different levels because past the Gemara talks about how past is, of course, is a different level than other foods. and therefore the sensitivities of how we treat pas versus other foods are going to be very, very different. Now that's why, for example, we have something called pas yisrael versus pas akum. And so how come we don't have something similar in other foods, like food that was, there's obviously bishul applies, but the Gemara, the pasuk is, pas is considered the staple, that's our main source of food. And therefore, it's something that we really take seriously. The level of bizayon is much more sensitive than by other foods. So by bread just throwing across the table, that's bizayon, even though it doesn't get ruined. But by other foods, that threshold is lower. We allow you to throw other foods unless it gets ruined. If it gets ruined by other foods, that's already a bizayon. But throwing dates, I won't get ruined. Throwing nuts, I won't get ruined. That's allowed. It's not as much as ignoring a Kaddish Baruch Hu's, it's not a kafui tov when it comes to other foods as much as by bread. And bread, we know the reason why bread is so special, not only because we eat so much of it and it's a staple of the food we find ourselves, but I think it could relate to something else which I probably mentioned in the past about Rav Soloveitchik had this idea that he asked the question, I think Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks this question as well, as to why we bench only after having bread. Why don't we bench after having apples and any other food? And his answer was because bread, when I eat a fruit, so when I eat the apple, I eat an orange or whatever fruit you're eating, or even a vegetable, it's hard to deny Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in that fruit. There's very little. Apple trees require just you planting a seed, and if you're in the right environment, it will grow on its own pretty much. And you have to just keep away the animals, and very little care is necessary in maintenance to have the fruits grow, and you eat the fruit. Very little you did. You put a seed in, and you saw a mamash tree and fruit. That's a Yad Hashem. That's very clear. And when it comes to bread, however, there's a whole process that's involved. I take a kernel, I put it in the ground, I grow it, and then there's wheat. And the wheat's not edible. I take the wheat off, I have to cut it, and then have to separate the seeds, the kernels out. I need to then grind it, I need to then sift it, I need to bake it. There's 11 steps I need to make bread. And at the end of the day, after spending months of making my bread, I think it's all me. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did very little in making that bread. It was pretty much me. And therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, you have to be, put into check that this wasn't all you. And that's why there's only benching when it comes to bread, because that's when we don't see the Yad Hashem as much as opposed to other fruits. So other fruits and other foods, we see Yad Hashem, there's no need for a big bracha achronim. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this to me, fine. We may not always have that in mind, but it's easy to see Yad Hashem. As opposed to when I buy the bread, or make it the bread, or buy the bread, you don't see it as much, and therefore you have to keep it in check. And for that reason, maybe we're extra sensitive to bread, more so than other foods as well. Either way, I think this is the idea that whenever there is a certain tzorech for you, then we're not concerned with bizayon. So let's go through a number of different examples. When there's a certain tzorech for a person, then you would be allowed to, you could ignore the aspects to a certain extent of a bizayon. Now, just one area to highlight about a difference between a bizayon and hefsed, right? Let's say you have food that's already aser. You have arla, the first 3 years of a fruit tree, which is already aser. So then, would there be a violation of the bizayon ochlin? Right, there's no baal tashchis there. I can't eat arla. Arla, I can't eat. I can't eat something that's aser. So is there a violation of hefsa being mevaza food? Or chala, hafrashas chala. Every single week, your wife makes chala. She separates chala for the kohen. We, of course, can't give it to the kohen. We don't know who kohen is. The kohen's tame, so we burn it. Is there an issue of being mevaza? Can I take that chala and put it somewhere in a disgusting place? It's going to get ruined. No one's eating it anyway. There's no baal tashchis because it's inedible at this point, halachically. So is there a violation of Bizayon Ochlin in that case? And the Prima Gadim writes here in our discussion, this is also found in the Dirshu, this Prima Gadim, that he says it's Aser to even throw out foods that are Aser in a Derech Bizayon. Because it's not Bizayon, it's different than being mafsid food. There's a different question of Baal Tashchis, it's very different than being Mevaza food. And even though it's something that won't be eaten, and there's no issue with Baal Tashchis, there still is a concern of being Mevaza the food.
You can't give it to the animals or going.
It depends on which type of certain foods are aser bana, certain foods are just aser to eat, but you could still get hana from them. So it depends on which iser. Arla, for example, is something that's aser bana, which means you cannot give it to the animals, you have to get rid of them.
Once the challah is burnt, does it still have a shame?
At that point, you're supposed to burn it to the point where it's inedible, in which case it wouldn't have a shame ocha anymore, and then maybe you could suggest that at that point maybe it's not considered a mivaza food. Let's say something's already disgusting, water or something spilled all over your food, so no one's going to eat it. It's disgusting already. At that point, does it still have a shame ocha? That's a good question. I'm not sure, because our case is talking about where it has a shame ocha, just us to eat halachically. It's a fruit. It's just an arla fruit, but it's really food. At what point does something lose a shame ocha? You might have to look at the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. Tumah V'Tahara is a good place to look at this, because food and drink become tameh if it comes into contact with the tameh mace or nevel or sheretz. At what point is something now pasul le Michael Adam? The din is, if something is food, now it's coming back to me, something that's a food for man, it's edible, it's still considered ochel for tumah purposes until it becomes pasul le'achilas kelef. We actually did this together in the Gemara Beitza. But once it becomes a pasul that even a dog wouldn't eat it, so then that's not called ochel for the purposes of tumah v'tahara. So let's say my dog won't eat my burnt chal anymore, he'll like look away and just, then you know it's not food anymore. But is that enough of a reason for the purposes of a bizayon in Oakland? I would think yes. I would imagine that would be the same definition of food for the concerns of bizayon of Oakland. So now in terms of baltashkes for a second, so just to highlight, baltashkes is something that's also a concern. Now, baltashkes isn't only when a person is destroying food in a physical way. It's even destroying food in a halachic way. So let's say the Mishnah Berurah, the Ber Lach, has an interesting case here. He says you can't make food aser b'hana. So what's an example? You can't hang food over a mace because that's mafsid. That causes an iser. I'm not familiar with this halacha, but apparently hanging food over a mace will have certain ruach ra to it, and you can't eat it. Or for example, it's a big. You spoke about camps before. So in camp, there's very little room for storing anything. But now you have your whole box of food. You bring up your drinks and your food. So where do you store it? You store it under your bed. So now there's a din that's brought down in the Gemara that any food that's underneath your bed, underneath the place that you sleep, that becomes achal. There's a asa rather. There's a ruach ra that rests on food that's underneath the person who's sleeping. So you can't sleep on top of food because that you just asar food. That's baal tashas now. Or there's actually interesting dinner on that piece, which I also may have shared in the past. They come up, but let's say you go on an airplane, and you bring, a bagel for lunch or something, and you put it underneath the seat in front of you, and the guy in front of you falls asleep now. Now, does that aser the food below it? So I remember if Hayashiv dealt with a Shaila, let's say you're traveling from Eretz Yisrael to America, or vice versa, wherever you're going, and you bring your Dal Minim with you. So you have your Esrog, and you put your esrog in your box. You want to put it on the luggage underneath. So you have it on the carry-on. You put it in the seat in front of you underneath, and the guy falls asleep. So now the esrog is asti. Now the reason why that's a problem is because the Gemara says that esrog has to be something that's roi la'achila. I can't use an esrog that's an arla esrog as my esrog for a mitzvah because it's not roi la'achila. It has to be edible. So now the guy slept on it. So now I can't eat it because it's food that's below a guy who slept on. So what Rav Yashiv said is, whenever it comes to Shomer Hashem Pesachim, which means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu protects you when you do a mitzvah. When there's a ruach ra is not an iser like arla. It's not an iser like chametz. It's a ruach ra. It's going to affect a person. It might be dangerous for a person. When a person performs a mitzvah, there's no concerns of anything dangerous happening to him. So at least lagabe an esrog, Rav Yashiv passing that doesn't aser the esrog when a guy sleeps on it. But forgetting an esrog, forgetting a mitzvah, just stam food in general, it's a problem of when a person sleeps on top of food, that food becomes also because of ruach ra. So a person, it would be a violation of altashkes to put food in such a situation whereby it would be would create an iser.
So in the stroller also.
Yeah, sure. Again, stroller. You put the stroller. Pushing your kid to the park. You bring his crackers and stuff, and he or she falls asleep. That could possibly be a problem. Now they do talk about. I'm trying to remember all this in my head, but they do talk about how that I think is allowed in the end of the day, because I think they point out that I think Rav Chaim Kanievsky says it's only true if it's really a bed. But a chair in an airplane and a stroller, even though people do sleep on it, that's not considered a mita. It's not a bed. It's not a din of sleep. The din of sleep on a mit, on a bed. So I think it's a chiluk that they say. I think they suggest one should try to avoid it if possible. But in the end of the day, if one doesn't, it really won't be a violation of this.
Wrapping it, does that do anything?
Wrapping does not do it. Does not help out, no. So I'm not sure what the rules are in camps, if this is something that's spoken about in camps at all, not to throw it on you, but something to keep in mind, I guess. Other things would be also, I never thought of this about being an Isser, but the Pishkei Tshuva talks about other examples of when a person could aser food, halachli aser food. So there's a din that you can't leave overnight. The Gemara says in Nida, you can't leave garlic or onions and similar types of foods overnight peeled. Peeled onions overnight, peeled garlic overnight becomes aser the next day. It's ruach ra, you can't eat it. So that would be also aser to do so.
Is that only when it's left out or even when it's in a Tupperware?
That's even no matter what. If it's unpeeled, even in Tupperware, it's still going to be usser. There are very different ways how to prevent that from happening. One din is if you leave a little piece of the peel left on there, or you pour a little oil on it, once it's mu'urav, once it's mixed with something else, apparently the ruach ra doesn't come. The ruach ra is only there when it's completely peeled and there's nothing else mixed together. So,
not
you know,
salad. A salad left
right.
Overnight is not.
No, that'd be allowed also, correct. The way it works, if you go to a gourmet glatter, any of the supermarkets, they'll sell a peeled garlic. So how's that allowed? It's left out overnight. So they explain that it's this oil that's in it, rub a little oil on it, and then that's enough to prevent any ruach ra from falling upon this garlic. Okay. Now, he does speak about a different topic as well, just in terms of baal hashkas of foods. We'll get back to the bizarino foods. What about bringing food into the bathroom? Is that going to be a problem? Will that aser the food? So the din is that when food's brought into the bathroom, it does not aser the food. Even though Mekubalim spoke at great length that a person should avoid it, you should not bring food into the bathroom. You certainly shouldn't eat in the bathroom. That's all Pikabalah. But in terms of halacha, it doesn't aser the food. And therefore, although one shouldn't do this because of, again, Kabbalah reasons, mitzad halacha, there is no problem. And mitzad halacha, it doesn't aser the food. So that does not fall into the category of baal tashkas. But again, anything about tashkas, whether it's physically destroying something or it's even halachically destroying something, would be a violation of baal tashkas. So now, what are examples where a person is allowed to do something for themselves and it won't be a problem of baal tashkas? It won't be a problem of mivaza. It won't be a problem of mivaza ochlim. So the Mishabru already brings an example of derech refuah. We mentioned this before. If it's derech refuah, so even though the food might get disgusting, might be a bizayon, if it's derech refuah, that's allowed. Why is that not bizayon of ochlin? Because I think it falls under the category where the Gemara says, osa adam kol tzarcha b'pas, whatever you need, any tzarcha you're gaining. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us food in this world for a purpose. So the typical way to use food is for eating. But there are other benefits from food as well, such as, refuah purposes, and that would not be a violation of baal tashkas, nor would it be a violation of being mivaza ochlin. Now, another interesting set of examples that come up are, let's say you're doing a derech precious. What do you mean derech precious? Or derech mitzvah. So what do we do for Havdalah? Havdalah, the custom is to pour wine, but we pour wine where it spills over. It's brought down in halacha, you're supposed to have it spill over, because the shefa of the wine spilling over is supposed to be a shefa of the bracha. Let's say Shabbos, we begin the week, we say v'tein lecha, not here, but other shuls, there's a brachas of a long set of psukim, we say matzei Shabbos, those who say it, and it's a time of bracha. So we pour the wine so it spills over. Ah, isn't that baal tashkas? Isn't that being maybe mivazet? Or, let's say even taking the candle, putting in the wine so it should go out, is that being mivazet? Now, no one's certainly going to drink the wine at that point. Is that going to be a bizayon? And the answer is, anytime it's for the purposes of mitzvah, or even in purposes of a chumrah, that's called tzarchel, that's called for your need, and that's not a violation of a bizayon of the ochlin. So some interesting examples that come up are as follows. Let's say there's a halacha, another halacha, different than the garlic and onion halacha, left out overnight. But let's say drinks were left out overnight. Mashkin. If you left out a cup of water overnight, you can't drink it the next morning, according to some. Why not? So the simple understanding of the Gemara is, the concern is that a snake may have come, left some venom, it drank some of the water, left some venom, and the next morning when Reuven drinks it, it's going to be dangerous. He's going to be drinking venom. So you can't have drinks left out overnight. Tosas writes, Bisman HaZeh, then we don't live among snakes. Tosas lived in Europe, there are no snakes in Europe. And here in America, at least in the New York area, there are no snakes here either. And certainly no poison snakes for quite some miles away. So now we can leave drinks out overnight. The Shulchan Aruch says, not a problem, you can leave drinks out overnight, you can drink it the next morning, fine. But then the Pischei Tshuva brings down from, I think, the Gra and others, made the Shla, that they're still Aser because Al Pi Kabbalah, there's a certain Ruach Ra, that's Shora on Mashkim that's left out overnight, drinks left out overnight. So some are Makbid on this. Chassidim are very Makbid not to have liquid drinks left out overnight, but even though the Mechaber says you're allowed to. So let's say you're Machmir on this. Okay, so I have my house a Machmir, not leaving drinks left out overnight. I see the next morning I got a cup of water, a cup of wine, I want to throw it out. Is that a problem of Baal Tashkis? Is that a problem of being mevaza the wine, mevaza the liquid? And the answer the poskim say is that if it's for, again, it's tzarech, if it's a need, even though that's a chumr, it's a chumr ba'alma. I know for sure that mitan halacha, I'm allowed to leave it out overnight, I could drink it the next morning, I'm allowed to. But I'm being machmir myself, so Baal Tashkis, mevaza ochlin, up against the chumra, the chumra is able to override any concern of Baal Tashkis or a bizayon. Well, let's say another example. Eretz Yisrael, there's a din of you have to be mafish chumas and maisos. All the fruits grown that I need to separate chumas and maisos. And of course, there are different levels of which hashkacha do I trust, do I not trust. So this badat is good, that badat is not good, that badat is okay. I trust them for these halachas, not for those halachas. So I go to the shuk, I buy some fruit, and it has a certain shkacha which I think is okay. They're probably good, but I want to be careful. So they probably took chumas and maisos. But for myself, I wanted to be safe. So I want to take my own chumas and maisos just in case. It's a suffix, a real chumra. But now I just separate chumas and maisos. I took out a tenth of my grapes, and now I can't give it to the Levi. I don't know who Levi is. I don't know who the Kohen is for the chumra, so I get rid of it. So that's a chumra. That's another case of a chumra that I'm being mafsid ochlem, being mevaz of the food. Is that something that's allowed? And the answer is that something that's derech precious, something that's a derech chumra, You are allowed to you're allowed to get rid of the food, and it's not a concern of a bizayon of the ochen. So these are just a couple of examples whereby it's not a concern of a bizoy mitzvah or of a baal tashkis if there's a certain tzarech at hand. And now one other kula they point out here is when it comes to the halachas of hefsid mammon. Hefsid mammon also is another reason why a person might have to be mevaza food, whatever the case might be. But hefsid mammon is something that halacha takes very, very seriously. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says in a few places that even though there might be a machlok, it's had a paskin, whatever the area, I don't have a good example right now. But the Ramah might say, we're machmir this way, but if it's a case of hefsid mammon, there's what to rely on. So here as well, if there's ever a situation where there's osa adam kol tzarech bapas, if there's a tzarech, that tzarech could be for a mitzvah, that tzarech could be for a fuah, that tzarech could be for a chumrah, that tzarech could even be for hefsid mammon. And these are all different examples whereby a person is allowed to use pas in such a way where he's going to gain some benefit from this. So what's an example of gaining benefit? So we mentioned the halacha before in the Gemara Tainus, that a person cannot serve ma'achal adam to a behemah. You can't serve human food, to hey, behema. So have we paskin this way or not? So the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Elia Rabbah, there's a suffix whether we paskin like this Shita Rav Huna or not. Can you feed human food to an animal or not? So the Machzor Shekel points out, the Mishnah Berurah quotes him, that if there's no other food to feed the animal other than your human food, then certainly you're allowed to. Because Tzar Bal Chaim would be considered an important point. Tzar Bal Chaim would be a necessary component to take into consideration, and therefore, if there's no other food other than the Ma'achal Adam, you would be allowed to serve that to to an animal. Now, then the post can say even further. Let's say I do have animal food, but there's a certain tzarech by me feeding the food to the animal, so then that's actually saving me money, right? I have the option of using animal food or my own food. So either way, it's my responsibility. So the post can point out, it is considered tzarech, because since I have a responsibility to pay, so it's a chiyum mamon of mine to pay my animal, to feed my animal, that would be another example whereby it would not be considered of being mevazeh food by feeding my own animals. As opposed to animals that are outside, which are not my animals, they're not getting any tzarech by feeding. You know, they speak about a case of you go to the zoo, and you know you go to like the petting zoo, and you could put in a quarter, get this little the food, and give it to them. Should you be doing that or not? Should you feed them? So if you do that, that's fine, because that's animal food. Right. But let's say now you want to go, you have some bread. So why don't you take your bread out and give it to the goats and to the cows? Is that something that's allowed? Mm-hmm. And they say that it's not allowed because they're not gaining from this. If you don't feed the food, don't worry. The zookeeper is going to give them plenty of food afterwards. They're not relying on your food, trust me. So that would be an example where you should not give to the food. It's not your responsibility. They don't need your food. They're not dying if you don't feed them the bread. And therefore, that would be an example where a person should not give the food. But what about...
Better throw it out?
No, feed it to yourself.
Oh, you're there. No, you're there.
The din is, once food, this goes back to Yaakov's point, once food gets to the point where no one's eating it anymore, it's not considered Michael Adam anymore, it's Michael Behema, then you could give it to whoever you want. Let's say it's so stale, no one would eat it. So that's already considered you're allowed to feed it to the animals at that point, the post-point.
It's good food, but it's leftovers, you're not going to take it home.
You had lunch.
You could eat half a sandwich left. You could either toss it in the garbage or you could toss it to the animal.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. It seems like, I believe it was the, who was this? I thought maybe the Beis Yitzchak felt that if it's Shiari Ochlin, which is leftover, Shiraim, I think he passed you'd be allowed to. Because he was not so sure that we passed like this Gemara in Tainis anyways without giving Michael Adam to Michael Behema. So he said, therefore, there are many coolas built in. And one of them I think he said was if it's a Shiraim of your food, even though it might be edible still, but no one's eating it. You know, we schlepped to wherever it is and it's either going to the garbage or to the animal. I believe he would say you'd be allowed to feed that to the animals. Very good.
Does bread have any special status from Ozish and Moshe feeding birds?
I'm going to speak about that piece. Yeah, Moshe.
So two things on that.
Number one is on Yontif. On Yontif and Shabbos, a person should not feed animals. That's din. People don't know that din. But you should not bring bread to Tashkis if you're going to Rosh Hashanah. We don't feed animals on Shabbos or Yontif. If it's during the week, you're allowed to.
That
din is it's brought down Hilchos Shabbos. I don't remember what the reason is. It could come up as well. Let's say you're shaking out your crumbs. So is that a problem? They said no, because there your intention is just to get rid of it, to clean it. Now your intention isn't to feed the squirrel, let's say. But if your intention is to feed the squirrels, now that I'm not remembering the din why that is now. I forgot why.
It's just a tircha,
it could be as a tircha, I don't remember.
But your own animals is mutter.
Yeah, you have to. It's an obligation. It's an obligation to feed your own animals, that's for sure. Right. There's actually a halacha brought down in the Gemara.
Feed them first.
You have to feed the animals. You cannot eat your food until you fed your animals. But let's say you have a dog, and the dog has its food, so then you don't have to make sure he eats. As long as the food's available for him, then you could eat. But if the food's not available, so then you have to make sure there's food for the animal first, unless it's not his feeding time. You have to make sure he gets fed first, or whatever animals you have, it has to be fed first. But if it's not your own animals, there's an issue to feed them on Shabbos.
But if you detach it during the week...
During the week...
But you still... And a lot of people know where I go to women and docks, so they're...
Right,
People throwing in...
So this would be the question at hand. So in terms of Tashlich itself, throwing the bread into the water, so there's a special din in that regard of throwing away the bread. There's a concept of that. The bread that represents... That's your tzorech.
Is it a mitzvah, so it's okay because...
Yeah, it's a time. It's a minhag.
Or a minhag, I say. But the birds are there. Everyone... And people are also
right.
Like,
feeding the birds would seem according to this halacha, would seem problematic. Throwing it into the water where the fish end up eating it, or even the birds come eat it. But your intention is to throw away the avero, so that's a concept to be hold of. And once that's your tzorach, even though it might also mean they're going to eat it, that's fine. Your intention isn't to feed them. It's like throwing the crumbs out. My intention is to get rid of the crumbs, not to feed the animals. But if you're just feeding the birds, it would seem to be problematic. So getting on that point, we'll finish with this. In terms of Shabbos Shira, there's a practice that's brought down even in Mishnah Brura that some throw wheat out to the birds. He says it's incorrect to do this, because it's not our obligation to feed the birds. One second here.
Is that during or before Shabbos?
It's on Shabbos. So I have to look at that. The way at least the Dirshu presents this is that he thinks it's only a problem because of issues of Shabbos. But in terms of the Michael Behema, Michael Alden to Michael Behema, that seems like it would perhaps be okay. So either way, this idea of giving human food to an animal might be a problem. It's not so clear. But one area where they say it is pretty clear that one should not do is when it comes to your motzi. the bread that we use to make hamotzi on, which is a davar mitzvah, that we should not give to the dogs. Remember, growing up, we had a dog, so whenever we'd go wash, the dog would get all excited because he knew the bread was coming. We always feed bread from the challah. But the truth is, we shouldn't be doing that. When it's something, it's one thing. It's ma'achal adam. There's not something else that's ma'achal adam that's done for a purpose of a mitzvah, tzarech mitzvah, and that food should not be given to the animals. And Mitzvah Hashem will stop here. Next week, we're going to discuss the concept of inviting goyim over to your house for Shabbos or Yom Tov.